ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कांटो 6 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 5। मुक्तनामपि सिद्धानं नारायणाय परायणः सुदुर्लभा प्रसन्तात्मा कोटिशिवापि महामुने। मुक्तनामपि सिद्धानं नारायण परायणः सुदुर्लभा प्रशान्तात्मा कोटिशिवापि महामुने। देवोतिस मुक्तनामपि सिद्धानं नारायणाय प्रयाणः सुदुर्लभा प्रशान्तात्मा कोटिशिवापि महामुने। मुक्तनामपि सिद्धानं नारायणाय प्रयाणः सुदुर्लभा प्रशान्तात्मा Koti Siva Pima. Any of the ladies? Tanama Pisidanam Naranaya Prayanaya Sudurlava Prashantatma. Muktanam of those who are liberated during this life, who are unattached to the bodily comforts of society, friendship and love. Api, even, Siddhanam, who are perfect because they understand the insignificance of bodily comforts. Naranaya Parayana. A person who has concluded that Narayan is the supreme. Sudurlabha, very rarely found. Prashanta, fully pacified. Atma, whose mind. Kotishu, out of millions and trillions. Api, even, Mahamune, O great sage. Translation. O great sage, amongst many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. I would like to repeat this. O great sage, amongst many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. The purport is 3 pages. I would like to read the first 1 page, give some purport, and gradually if there is time we can continue with the second page. Because In the second page and third page are almost the same, where Srila Prabhupada is quoting some parts of the Shastras to make emphasis on a specific kind of devotees. So purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following purport to this verse: simply desiring mukti or liberation is insufficient. One must become factually liberated. Srila Prabhupada at the bottom of the page makes a quote where he says the word koti means 10 millions. Its plural means millions and trillions. When one understands the futility of the materialistic way of life, one becomes advanced in knowledge. And therefore he situates himself in the Vanaprastha order, unattached to family, wife and children. One should then further progress to the platform of sannyas, the actual renounced order, never to fall again and be afflicted by the materialistic life. Even though one desires to be liberated, this does not mean he is liberated. Only rarely is someone liberated. Indeed, although many men take sannyas to become liberated, because of their imperfections, they again become attached to women, material activities, social welfare, work, and so on. Here, I'd like to just quote something very important that my spiritual master, His Holiness Srila Jayaprakasa Swami Maharaj, says about the sannyas order. But the very important part of this text, it corresponds to me in a very personal level, in a first degree level, because it talks in the part of King Chitraketu's lamentation. But going back to the first paragraph of this very good explanation, it's my spiritual master says, when someone is 99% sannyas, listen to this, whoever pretends to become a sannyas, and he is 99% sannyas, Maya can take advantage of that 1%, enters in the mind of that sannyas, and gradually destroy him step by step, and this 1% become 2%, 3%, up to 10, 20, and then finally he destroys his life with material's desire. Therefore, if someone is in the renounce order or sannyas order, he must be very strict and very fixed in his ashram. Otherwise, Maya Devi has the duty to become an obstacle in his spiritual advancement, because she doesn't want that any living entity execute devotional service. So she will trouble him. She will make his life miserable. But we have seen how Srila Prabhupada, from the very time he took the sannyas order, he was 100% sannyas, 100% surrender, and 100% full of love for Krishna. When he was coming on his way to America, or he was going to America, we are in India, many tests he has to undergo, physical tests like with heart attacks, many preachings to the mind, oh, you are a great devotee, great Vaishnava, you are in association with the best dam in the world, Vrindavan, you left your very dear Goswamis, you left your meditation there, why you have to go to the West? So always Maya was trying to attack Srila Prabhupada's mission to convince him to go back. How many of us at the age of 70 would accept to leave the association of Vrindavan, having Mahaprasad, seeing the deities every day, writing, talking on Bhagavatam? How many people, even in Vrindavan, the Babajis or the so-called sannyas in Vrindavan or the devotees, how many of them at the age of 70, they decided to go to where Maya has her highest expression in greed, in ambition, in lust, in the biggest cities of the world, where New York is the capital city of the whole world, all the transactions of the financial systems, and the diplomatic capital of the city is New York. But he was 100% a devotee, 100% a sannyas, and 100% full of love. Because the secret of the Hare Krishna movement is based only on one single thing. pure love for Krishna. Obviously, pure love has different manifestations, different branches, different layers of consciousness. Krishna consciousness has different layers according to the will and the surrender and the degree of love of the living entity. So devotional service is one of the manifestations of this energy of pure love that emanates from Sisi Radha Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was very fixed, was very strict, and was very loyal to the instruction of his Guru Maharaj. Although he was instructed in the early 30s, he did not adventure to go to America without being very well versed in the Shastras, very well qualified, very well trained, and very well fixed. Because he had to convince people who had thousands and thousands of births with different software, different program, different habits in the mind. So therefore he has to be armed with all the weapons, with gyan, with bhakti, with everything. But when he started presenting the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam in the West, he only did one thing. He extracted bhakti. Because other scholars, they only present the Bhagavatam in a gyan form. Even in the 12th canto or other cantos, the Mayavadas, they want like the liberation through mukti, through whatever, it is there. Krishna has different aspects. For the pujaris, Krishna was like a naughty guy. He was disturbing them. For the gopas, oh, he was their friend. For Yashoda, oh, he is my son. For the demons, oh, he is the annihilation, the death personified. So he's the same one, but it depends in which perspective you are seeing him. So it is, he appears like this to you. And the Bhagavatam, if you are a Mayavada, or if you belong to different schools, you will always find slokas who sustain and support your creed or your understanding. But for the devotee who is not karmakandi, who is not searching for liberation, but for service with devotion and love, then he extracts the real meaning about Krishna consciousness. One time Srila Prabhupada, I think someone was challenging him about his authority on explaining the Bhagavad Gita. And then he says, who wants to explain the Bhagavad Gita must know Krishna and love Krishna. And he challenged him, those people who are talking to you about the Gita, how many times they mention Krishna, or in their purport the word Krishna is present? Because they can explain the Bhagavad Gita from unlimited ways. One time I was in Bahrain, and there is an Indian scholar, he's a Buddhist. And then he was asked by the ruler of Bahrain to be the president of the cultural center in Bahrain, because he was very well versed in Arabic, although he's Indian and Buddhist, not a Muslim. And then he decided to translate the Gita, the 700 slokas of the Gita. He gifted me two or three samples. And I said, how come you are a Buddhist and you're this and you want to write on the Gita? He says, I don't care what everything is said in the Gita, I only care what it says in the 1866, where God says, leave everything, all faiths, all creeds, and just surrender unto me. So at least he's a Buddhist, he's a scholar, and he found some slokas in the Gita that supports his creed or faith. So the Vedic culture, the way it's presented, it is to suit all different predispositions of the mind. Just now, yesterday, I was coming from Bangalore, and it's 22 and a half hours or 23 hours. So I'm always silent. I don't speak with people on the train because sometimes I feel disturbed, whether it's children or so many things. But the last 2 hours, I broke my silence, and there was a gentleman who is an officer of the Navy here in India.
And because this is a secular state, they cannot practice religion within the army. But then, because he's going to be promoted, he was sent to Coimbatore to have a course on management, because he's going to be given a management duty. He says, I take care of the weapons maintenance, but now I'm going to be promoted to have a leading post, and therefore I have to study management and skills. But he was frustrated because he says, one of the teachers he was giving, I forgot the title, but I think it is called psychological intelligence. One of the courses was psychological intelligence. And then the teacher says, one cannot control his stress if he does not believe in God. The teacher in the army, in that specific measure, he's telling, if you don't believe in God or in some deva, you won't be able to control stress, nor you will feel relieved, because you have no one to rely on when you are in distress or in anxiety. And he says, you see, I must believe in someone. I must take shelter in some deva. So I only can practice religion when I go back home. So I take shelter in Mahadev, in Ganesh, or in Durga, according to his line of faith. So he says, you see, even a teacher who's an officer, he was telling us that one, in order to control the stress and the anxiety in advance, he must believe in some God. So we are very fortunate because we have the Supreme Lord in his most confidential form, Krishna, Radha, and more confidential than Radha Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My Guru Maharaj says that the topmost confidential form of Radharani, who knows which is the topmost confidential form of Radharani? We all know, we just have to remember. Who knows which is the topmost confidential form of Radha? Because Radha, she created Mayapur. There was a lady one time, we were in Japa walk in the morning in Mayapur, and there was a lady, I don't want to give her name, she was leaving the Sankirtan Bhavan and she was going to Vrindavan. And then suddenly, Guru Maharaj was there when she was leaving. We were walking in the morning, in the Japa walk, and he says, Guru Maharaj, oh, where are you going? Oh Maharaj, I'm going to Vrindavan. But it's not that she was going, she was moving. It's not that she was going for like 1 week. No, she was moving for good. He says, and Guru Maharaj was shocked. Say, why you are leaving Mayapur?
Maharaj, because Radhe is in Vrindavan. So Radhe is there, more than here.
He says, what? Guru Maharaj was shocked. She was talking nothing but with Acharyapad, with Jayapataka Maharaj, who really knows all the things behind the creation of Mayapur, the pastimes of the Panchatattva. He says, well, this is your opinion. In fact, Radha is here more than in Vrindavan. Do you know that Radha created Mayapur? Do you know that Mayapur is nothing but the mood of Radha? Because what mood Krishna has in Mayapur? He has the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And who is Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Is the personification of love of Radha for Krishna. Is the highest manifestation of pure love. Unconceivable love. She created Mayapur out of love. She's here in every single place. In every single atom, Radharani is present in Mayapur. If a person claims, oh, he says every day, Radhe, Radhe, doesn't mean he loves Radharani more than that one who might have Radha in the heart or in the mind. Because Mayapur is now different from Radha. But then he goes further and he says, do you know what is the most confidential form of Radharani? Is Gadadhar Pandit. Do you know why? Because Radha is the only real female par excellence. I have a male body, doesn't mean I am a male. And they have a female body, doesn't mean they are females. We are energies. We are souls. We are not into dualistic expression in our absolute form. So we acquire a male body or a female body. Doesn't mean I am a male or I am a female. The only real male is Krishna. Also Mahadev is a male par excellence because he is a qualitative incarnation of Krishna. So the real female is Radha and the real male is Krishna. Yet, she was under shock, grieving, lamenting, crying to Krishna that he was going to Mayapur to perform his pastimes as a devotee and that she wouldn't have association because he tells her, you can't go after some time. She says, why? She was coming. He says, I'm going to take the renounce order and then you can't associate with me as a female. Then she cried to Krishna, I won't be able to exist if this would be like that. And then she prayed. And then he gave her a male body. That's why Gadadhar Pandit is love personified. And Gadadhar Pandit used to read the Bhagavatam to Chaitanya Dev. And he used to fall in ecstasies when he used to hear about the love of Prahlad, the love of Dhruva. These were his favorite stories. Why? Because they are expressing the highest level, the highest platform of perfection, which is love for Godhead. There wouldn't be Nrisingadev at all if there is no Prahlad. Because Nrisingadev does not need to appear, Vishnu does not need to appear as Narasimhadev to annihilate or destroy any demon, not even the king of all demons. He can send a microbacteria. He can send a virus to enter the body of Hiranyakashipu and destroy his body and kill him. Yes or yes? He can empower any deva. He can empower you. Even if you are a senior man with old body, Krishna has the power to empower you to go and kill Hiranyakashipu. But then why he does it? Why he appeared? Because of the prayers and love of his devotees. If there is no Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Dev wouldn't have descended on earth. So there is no prayer with love and devotion. Krishna does not incarnate in this material world, nor he expand himself. So there must be a valid reason that makes the Lord to perform his transcendental pastimes in order to please his devotees. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pleased Radharani because of her love. And he provided her a male body, a transcendental male body. So everything is based on love. Srila Prabhupada's teaching is based on love. Srila Prabhupada leaving all the comfort and association with Vrindavan, it is because of love. So let me continue reading to see more paragraphs of pure love. Srila Prabhupada says, Gyanis
yogis and karmis devoid of devotional service are called offenders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadhi. One who thinks that everything is Maya instead of thinking that everything is Krishna is called an Aparadhi or offender. Although the Mayavadis, impersonalists, are offenders at the lotus feet of Krishna, they may nonetheless be counted amongst the Siddhas. Those who have realized the Self, they may be considered nearer to spiritual perfection because at least they have realized that the spiritual life is what spiritual life is. If such a person becomes Narayana Parayana, a devotee of Lord Narayan, he is better than a Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated or perfect. This requires higher intelligence. Srila Prabhupada elaborates further, and he says, there are two kinds of jnanis. One is inclined to devotional service and the other to impersonal realization. Impersonalists generally undergo great endeavor for no tangible benefit, and therefore it is said that they are husking paddy that has no grain. Stula tusvagatina. The other class of jnanis, whose jnana is mixed with bhakti, are also of two kinds. Those who are devoted to the so-called false form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and those who are understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Sakshid Ananda Vigraha. The actual spiritual form. The Mayavadi devotees worship Narayan or Vishnu with the idea that Vishnu has accepted a form of Maya and that the ultimate truth is actually impersonal. Whereas the pure devotee, however, never thinks that Vishnu has accepted a body of Maya. Instead, he knows perfectly well that the original absolute truth is the Supreme Person. Such a devotee is actually situated in knowledge. He never merged in the Brahman effulgence. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, Jayanye ravindaksha vimukta maninas Tvayasta bhavad avisudha budaya Aruya krichrena parampadam tata Patantiyado nadrita yusmad angrayaha. O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but who have no devotion is impure. Even though they rise to the highest point of liberation by dint of severe penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down again into material existence. For they do not take shelter at your lotus feet. Here Srila Prabhupada talks about the very important thing in the process of self-realization. He starts by talking about those who perform and follow the path of devotional service and how they are much more perfect with guarantee of liberation than those who are siddhas or muktas. In the translation of this verse, Sukadeva Goswami says that amongst millions and trillions of even so-called people who seek liberation, very rarely there is one who is really liberated, who is following to perform devotional service. All of you are very fortunate. Those who are very tired, please don't sleep. Hare Krishna. Amongst millions and trillions who are following the path of liberation, very few, very rarely is found that person who is really in the path of devotional service, who is going to board the fastest jet back to Godhead. We are very fortunate to be in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are very fortunate to be in the line of
of Madhava, Yamuna Ramanuja Acharya, which gradually on due time was perfected by our Acharyas and by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. We are very fortunate to read the Bhagavatam, to understand it, to read the Bhagavad Gita and the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, because this verse is to remove that millions of doubts that those who seek liberation have. And I want to tell you my personal story. 21 years ago, I was walking on the streets of Caracas, and I was searching for something more perfect in terms of spiritual realization. Because religions is what other makes you believe and impose on you, whereas the spirituality is your very real self and realization. It's something very confidential, very intimate between God and yourself. And then suddenly, I came across a boulevard where there was a Harinam. And I didn't want to talk to the devotees. I didn't like them. I was not interested. But I said, please, can you give me your address? Because I will talk to them in the temple, but on the streets, I'm not interested to talk on the street. But then one devotee says, oh, sorry, I don't have a card. However, at the back of this small book is the address. And in Spanish, they had King Chitraketu's story of happiness and lamentation in one small book. And I'm coming from a background who we believe in reincarnation. I took that book, and immediately I went home. I didn't want to do anything. And one lady, devotee, she gave me biscuit. She gave me a biscuit, which was Mahaprasad from Radha Giridhari. I took that book, and immediately at night, I start reading the book. And at the back cover, I see the face of Srila Prabhupada. And the first thing I said, oh, I know this man, I know this spiritual master. I have seen him somewhere. And I was 100% sure from my heart that I'm going to meet this person. But then I start reading the book. I spent the whole night reading the book, and I realized so many things. I was in real happiness. Because the first thing I said, oh my God, finally someone knows how to write on reincarnation. And that our relationship with our parents is temporal. So here in this chapter is such an amazing chapter that encompasses everything that we need to know. Envy is there from the millions of wives of Chitraketu when they poisoned the son of the king. Greed, ambitions, but at the same time there is no conviction, there is no happiness, because although the king had all the beautiful wives, the most opulent kingdoms, he had everything materialistic, money, gold, ornaments, everything, yet because one material thing he did not possess, he was lamenting and he was unhappy. Then I was impressed by this story of Srila Prabhupada, how he elaborates very well on all these fake emotions, temporal emotions that the living entity undergo because of the attachments. But also in this chapter, we see compassion. We see desires of devotional service. We see how a king, because from within he was a devotee, he had the mercy to associate with two great sages, perfect sages, Narada and Angira. And it also shows the unlimited mystic powers of the sages that Narada could bring back. a soul to a death body. It shows the inconceivable power of Krishna when he wants to empower his perfect devotees or the sages. It shows the different layers of intelligence. How Sri Triketu discovered that he was in full ignorance. He was under the power of illusion. And how gradually with transcendental knowledge he could achieve the perfect platform. And this is Prabhupada. Prabhupada is giving that the same thing that what Angira and Narada Muni did with Sri Triketu, Prabhupada is doing with all of us every single day. Why all we are here? This is the $10 billion question that each and every ignorant, naive and silly and intelligent man in the world asks. Why we are here? We cannot solve that mysticism of birth and death. Steve Jobs had the topmost expensive company in the world. When he died, Apple was worth $621 billion. Yet he could not reach 60 years. He had no power to extend his life one microsecond. Because the cancer devours his body. We are richer than Steve Jobs. We are richer than Bill Gates. Because when they are going to leave their body, they might pretend to offer to the Jamadutas all their wealth, all their assets, all their achievements in the material world in order to exchange it for going back to Godhead. But they will tell them, whatever you possess belongs to your temporal, fake, illusory body. If you go as a soul to the bank to claim your wealth, they won't give you. They want you alive and a signature, yes or not? So in fact, you have done nothing but waste your time in becoming rich, and creates and generate and increase your material opulence. Whereas a devotee, he does nothing for himself. Prabhupada states in the Gita that a devotee is the best servant of the society. Because we are not going to make people richer, but we are going to make them more spiritual. It's like Srila Prabhupada. Once he was challenged in America by so many people. Some people used to say, you are brainwashing our children. He says, yes, he was not feared. He was not afraid. Oh, no, sorry, I'm not brainwashing you. He said, if something is dirty, what's wrong of washing it? If your car or flat is dirty, then the right thing is to wash it. But why we are here? Because at a specific point in our life, we discover that something is wrong, that I'm in the wrong place, in the wrong body. How is it possible that I am ruled by disease, by distress, by fear? What is the topmost common emotion in all living entities? It's fear. Whoever tell you, oh, I fear no one except God, I will challenge him and tell him, in fact, you fear everything except God. Our movement is not based on fear of God. It is instead on love for God. Our movement is based on pure love. Because we fear death. We fear fire, electricity. We fear that our son is hit by a car. We fear being poisoned. We fear a bacteria. We fear a mosquito bite. We fear everything. So this body is full of fear. So we come here because we discover that it's not possible that we appear as human beings and we are doing everything like animals. So Srila Prabhupada upgraded our software from an animal software. He used to say, if you have a body, if you have a human hardware, the normal thing is that you have a human software. So there is a disbalance in having human hardware and an animal software. So he upgraded our software first to human software. He converted people who were in the lower, let's say, way of behaving. He upgraded them to become humans, to become world citizens, first class world citizens, by teaching them ahimsa, by making them vegetarian, by them making them worship Krishna. Even there are many gurus, different lines, even Mayavadi lines, they can upgrade your software from animal software to human software. But Srila Prabhupada, then he went further and he upgraded our software to spiritual software. Because he doesn't want us to acquire a new human hardware. He wanted us at the time when we leave our body to acquire a spiritual hardware. This is the mercy, the unconceivable mercy of Srila Prabhupada. I always declare, Srila Prabhupada doesn't know how great he is. It's unconceivable the benefit that Srila Prabhupada has done. Some of you might be Sudras by birth, or even from the lower caste. What to talk about myself, who is not even with Hindu body. Yet I am sitting in the Vyasasan, giving comfort, giving a car to go and be picked up, giving prasadam for free. This is not because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. This is because I decided to become a Krishna Bhakta. So when all of you have discovered that you are spiritual living entities, what happens? It's like you go to a mine and you extract diamond. I want to ask this question. When you go to a mine and you extract a diamond, how does the diamond look like? Does the diamond look beautiful as you see it in a ring or a necklace? It looks like a small stone. But an expert person can distinguish, oh, this is a diamond, but it's in a raw stage. And what do you do with the diamond? What do you do with the diamond? Do you take it to the taxi driver? Oh, please, can you polish this diamond? Or you take it to the lawyer? Or you go to a tailor, you say, please, can you please polish? This is a diamond, I swear it's a diamond, but it doesn't look like a diamond because it's covered with dirt, with so many covers of different stones. He says, no, no, the best thing, you go to a jewelry. They have the right person to polish this jewel, this stone. And then finally we go to the best jewelry and we ask for the best jeweler, please, I'm giving you this diamond, can you polish it? And then the jeweler, he is a perfectly qualified in order to give the right cuttings and polish it and give it the right shape. Then the diamond will give its real nature. But the man who is polishing, he does not give any quality or any attribute to the diamond. Yes or not? He just polish, he just clean it. Because the attributes are present in the diamond, it start flourishing and shining. Yes or yes? And this is what we do when we decide that we want to give a final spot to our very miserable existence. Then we discover we are like that diamond in raw stage. We need to be polished. Then we go to the right person, to a genuine spiritual master, who is a spiritual jeweler, who is going to give the right shape and the right polishing in order to remove all the dust, all the dirt, and all the maculas that are covering the diamond. And here Prabhupada explains, we are Sakshid Ananda. So what is Prabhupada doing with all of us? Is polishing our very self. In order so the qualities and attributes of the jiva gets manifested. That's why you see a devotee is a compassionate person. He is shining. He is always smiling. He tries to become stress free. And if he is in anxiety, it's just to serve better Krishna and the devotees. So we take shelter in a process where the spiritual master is the qualified person to polish the real jewel, the very self, in order so the qualities and attributes gets manifested. It's a process. It's not a one day process. But the process is not difficult, nor it is impossible, because of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because also my spiritual master gave an example that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give us first the sweet. The sweet is in the form of Krishna himself in vibration form. When you go to take prasadam now, they will give you first the prasadam which is full of spices and chili. That's going to burn your tongue. And at the end, to pacify your tongue, they give you sweet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing the opposite. He gives us first the sweet. But we need to maintain the sweet with us. We need to maintain Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How we maintain it? By using it. Do you buy a car from a supplier and you fill up the tank with oil just to put it in the garage, in the parking? Or you use it. So the Maha Mantra is to be used. And in order to maintain the Maha Mantra, Srila Prabhupada, through a bhakti process, he says, if you want to maintain the Maha Mantra, that sweet, that access password to the spiritual world, that in order to be stamped back to Godhead on our passport, we must follow certain things along with the main devotional server, which is chanting the Maha Mantra, is the four regulative principles. And to serve others, and to serve the Guru, and to serve the Vaishnavas, and to serve the community. This is the best way to follow the process of polishing the jiva. Why we say a devotee is advanced? Because he's more polished. Why we take shelter in some spiritual master? Because we see him connected close to Krishna. Because he inspires me what he talks. Why Prabhupada made Jewish and Christian and Muslims in America to bow down before him? There is no such practice in the Western world that you offer dandavats to anybody. But because the people who have a seed of bhakti, they saw that he's a man of Vaikuntha, he's connected to Krishna, he's a genuine representative of God. He's full impregnated with the bhakti shakti of Krishna. So he inspired them, and they bowed down. We bowed down to Srila Prabhupada with love and devotion, because he is connected. And because we want to be connected, we go to a person who is connected. If you have a radio and you want to hear like 101 FM, you just have to tune. So when the radio is connected to that radio transmission, then you hear the radio. And if I want to be in tune with Krishna, I come to a person who is connected with Krishna. So this verse is very important. It talks about different processes of attachment and becoming detached. How the king Chitraketu understood at the end that he was lamenting of material, temporal possessions, even children. And how when the children again took birth by the mystic power of Narada, he was preaching to his parents. He was telling them that my identity with you, I am never your son, you are not my father, is a temporal identity of the bodies. My eternal father is Krishna. My eternal mother is Radha. You are just temporal. So in this chapter, a perfect realization is there. It goes through all the different stages of the material life and different stages of spiritual life. Because after Narada blessed him to have a darshan with the Supreme Lord. So everything is present in this chapter. It's just an amazing chapter. Who made me become a devotee? Immediately I went the day after to the temple. And I saw from the window of the glass, the door, the window, I saw Srila Prabhupada sitting. And I was with such happiness and ecstasy that I'm going to meet that man. Because he really knows how to explain the real existence of life and the reincarnation. So I knocked the door, no one opened. After like 10 minutes, someone came, opened, and then he left. And he left me alone in the small temple. And because I saw there were shoes outside, I said, oh, here you might have to leave the shoes. And then I entered, and the first thing I said, good morning, sir, how are you? I didn't know it was a Murti, because he looks like real. I never saw such a almost exact Murti of a human beings. So I said, good morning, sir, how are you? And he didn't reply me. So I said, oh, he is in deep meditation. I'm not going to disturb him. Because Lobsang Rampa, in one of his books, he writes about the yogis in the Himalaya. They are in deep meditation. They don't move. I said, it's okay. So I went to my left and I saw small deities, Gornitai, Radha Giridhari and Nishingadev. And the first thing I said, oh, these people are so crazy. How they leave a golden thing, someone can come and steal them. And why these dolls are there with so many things? My mind starts questioning. But then again I look at my light, I look at my right and I said, good morning, sir. But he didn't reply me even, but out of respect I didn't look straight to him. And I just sat down beside him. And I was waiting for him to react and tell me, hi, how are you, welcome here. But he didn't react. And then I look at him and I said, sir, you didn't hear I greeted you. And I stood up beside him. And I said, I told you good morning. But then suddenly, I saw it was here shining. I said, oh my God, it's a statue. How am I talking to a statue? And I felt shame inside myself. I said, I hope no one is looking at me. Anyway, there was nobody there except the deities. And I sat down, frustrated, that he is not the real one I'm looking for. And then after like 10 minutes, a devotee comes. But he didn't have time to tell me anything. And another one, I saw the guy who gave me the book, hey sir, please. And he didn't even want to talk to me, he was busy. It was very early in the morning. They were going for some services. But then one guy told the temple president that there is a new man coming. I sat with him. It took him few minutes to preach to me from the Gita, and from that very moment, I became a devotee. I didn't go through any process of preaching, I immediately surrendered. They were fasting, it was a Ekadasi, and I fasted the whole day with them. And I became a devotee, and I became vegetarian since that day. And I used to go to my house, and my mind was 24 hours there. I was an actor and I gave up being an actor. And I was a beginning politician and I stopped becoming politician. And I found that the prasadam was very delicious. And how stupid I was because I was not vegetarian. And I start seeing the world from a different perspective. Right from that very moment I left. I went to the house, I said, whatever I have in the fridge for me, you please take. I don't want any more. Krishna was very merciful to me. Prabhupada was in my heart. He immediately enlightened me. And I was very fortunate to be enlightened by Srila Prabhupada. I thank him every day for giving me the opportunity that in this lifetime I am a Vaishnava. My spiritual master doesn't accept that a person says, I would like to take birth next time to serve you personally or to become a rich and give money to the temple. He said, this is a wrong philosophy. Our process is not to take birth anymore in this material world. One time, one devotee was telling Guru Maharaj, I would like to take birth next life so I can become a man because she's a lady to serve you personally. He says, you are forcing me to come back again to liberate you. I want you to be liberated in this very life. This is the unlimited mercy of Srila Prabhupada. that this is the fastest process of self-realization through bhakti, through service. All you know, the experience of Narada Muni and the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, looking for the most beloved devotee of Krishna. And it's not that who only love Krishna, or only love Krishna and the Guru, because it's in a foolish state. But that to love Krishna, the representative of Krishna, the God brothers of the spiritual master, the devotees and all humankind, and he's very compassionate, and he wants to liberate everybody. This is the highest level of bhakta. Srila Prabhupada could have stayed as many others in Vrindavan. But what he did, once I asked this to Guru Maharaj, my question was, Guru Maharaj, why we don't have Gaur Gadadhar in our temples? Listen to this, all you who are preachers. Why we don't have Gaur Gadadhar, as in Gaudiya Math, they have Gaur Gadadhar. Why we have Gaur Nithai? And he said, in fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave an explanation to that. He said, because we are in preaching mood, we go out to deliver the message of Lord Chaitanya. Because we want each and every one to be liberated. So we are in Sankirtan mood. We are not in Bhajan mood to go sit in the dam or in any holy place and not be compassionate with millions and billions of people who are starving for spiritual knowledge, who are drowning in this miserable life. Srila Prabhupada said that the temple of Vedic Planetarium is meant to attract the millions of people around the world so they come and embrace Krishna consciousness and they stop their loving. So he needs to attract them in some way or another. I have a video where Guru Maharaj explains that Prabhupada said if you are only living in grass hut, you will not attract people many hours of driving from the whole world to come and see a grass hut. You must make a very opulent temple to inspire and attract people, because people need to be attracted. They need their senses to be attracted, to be shaked. So the highest devotee who loves more, and Srila Prabhupada has unlimited love for all humankind. So he undergone all the penances, all the austerities of the body in order to be in the highest expression of Maya, as I said, in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, preaching. Why he did that? Because of love and compassion. I pray to Srila Prabhupada that all our hearts, all your heart, be always filled up with pure love and compassion in order to be tools in the hand of the Adi Guru, Nityananda Prabhu, to preach Krishna consciousness and to deliver each and every one to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srisi Radha Ras Bihari ki, Parama Karuna Srisi Gaur Nithai ki, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Sri Sri Radha Damodar ki, Gora Premanande Hari 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 Bol. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Hare Krishna. Any question? I didn't give a chance to any question. Time is over. Yeah, because the time is the enemy number one of this world. He starts things, he finishes them, he annihilates us. The time is so powerful. Hare Krishna. Thank you.